Page Lamed Gimel. Okay, everybody, so let's start this review of the paragraph again, Hamispalel. Page Lamed Gimel Hamispalel. Here's the Sefer. Any more left? All gone?
Sold out.
Wow, okay. Page Lamed Gimel Hamispalel Imatzilo. We did this yesterday. We're just going to review the words. Lo Yarech Betilosa Yosemidai. Do not be Marech Yosemidai. Why? Because if they need you for a minion. By the way. No, you have no right. You have no right to do that. If you're part of the minion, you have no right to cause them to wait. If you're a part of a minion, there are 10 people, you have a responsibility. If they want to start, within reason. I mean, if the minion is davening the whole Shemoneh Esrei in 2 minutes and they expect you to be finished in 2 minutes, they're not the ones who are reasonable. But 5 minutes, 5 minutes you're allowed. L'chari, you're allowed davening the silent Shemoneh Esrei for 5 minutes. Four and a half for sure. What? Okay, fine. House rules, but I can't imagine any shul can have a tie on a person that they daven longer than 4.5 minutes. 4 minutes and 30 seconds is you have a right. That's your entitlement in the United States. You have an entitlement to daven the Shemona Esrei for 4 minutes and 30 seconds. If they make demands that you have to finish within 3 minutes, something is wrong. Okay.
You find by the Gedolim some daven very long.
So we discussed yesterday.
Some daven very short.
Right. So even Moshe Rabbeinu, everyone says Moshe. We see he was very flexible. Mitzad Echad, he's the one that was mechaber the shortest tefillah.
Right.
Kel no refonol. That was the whole prayer. His sister was sick. That was it. He was Makatzer. And then Mitzat Shein, he davened for 40 days, 40 nights. Non-stop. It is known that davened the longer Shemoneh Esrei than Moshe Rabbeinu. And it was known that davened a shorter Shemoneh Esrei than Moshe Rabbeinu. It all depends on the time and the needs. And guess sometimes, Rabbi Yisai, it's not a time to daven. Hashem says to Moshe explicitly, Lama titzak, ma titzak elai. Daber el b'nei shol v'yiso. Sometimes, Rabbi Yisai, you don't daven. Ha'oseik b'mitzvah, potter min ha'mitzvah. It happens to every person in their life at some point in time when, you know something, you're mamish not mechuyiv to daven. You're dealing with a crisis, an emergency, you're not mechuyiv to daven. A lot of rabbis, sometimes they mamish don't daven because, you know, they're dealing with, they get calls, funerals, and things, and emergencies. Your duty is to deal with the situation. And if that requires you, it requires you to get there and to do things and to talk to people, you just don't have time to daven mincha. You don't have time to daven. Sometimes you don't have time to daven ma'ariv. Shachos either. Try to put on tefillin and say kriyashma. But that's the way life goes. Ma titzak elai. What are you davening now? Now is not the time to daven. Now is the time for action. Mitzad sheni, kel no refon no la, a short Shemoneh Esrei. Mitzad acher, a 40-day Shemoneh Esrei, 40-day, 40-night Shemoneh Esrei. So you see, Moshe Rabbeinu, he taught us there's a time for everything. Okay, so that is Pashit. Now, over here, the reason why you should not daven long Shemoneh, because they need you. If they don't need you, so gesundheit, do whatever you want. But if they need you for the minyan, then you should daven. What about Mechse ki Yehoira? If you daven a long Shemoneh Esrei, they're going to say, oh, this guy, he thinks such a tzaddik, he daven a long Shemoneh Esrei. It all depends, you know. It all depends on the situation, where, what, one, where, what, how. Everyone can tell what this is.
Says, don't stick out like a sore thumb, because God's going to check the books on you. Look at this guy.
Is that right? So
let me see what kind of what's
going to be played.
So it all depends on the situation. Obviously, this is common sense. There's certain things you do not need sarm for. Common sense. Right.
By himself.
He daven long. He daven in one place. He found him in another. He starts off over here. He ends up over there. All the bowings. Okay, Nechanami, it's common sense, but when you're dealing with other people, your priority is to be sensitive to other people.
Can you say
Baruch?
Is Baruch different
than a Rishus? Maariv is a Rishus? No, there's no sort of, we were makabel in time of the Chazal. Maariv is meikar din a reshus. It's you don't have to daven maariv altogether. In fact, Any year, whatever you want. You can do that. You get a free country. You can do whatever you want. Oh, they need to wait a few for Kaddish. They need to say Yiduri to daven by a min, because they need to say the Kaddish to Skabel. When you finish the Shmariv, they have to say, there's no Chazar Sashatz, but they have to say Kaddish. And they need a minyan lechatchila, 10 people answering Yehei Shmei Rabba to say Kaddish. So you have to be, if you're part of that 10 people, don't daven a 17 minute Shemona Esrei, because the people are out of patience and they need you.
You said 17 minutes.
I know why I said 17 minutes. Okay, they need you to answer. You need the answer. So it's common sense. You don't need, there's certain things you don't need svarim for. Dvarim pshutim ad ma'od. Next, na'al v'inoy ben la'atzma reshus b'yodel. Do whatever you want. V'imbolay ma'achar tefilos. Now, by the way, in daven at home, there's a halacha. It's a very problematic daven at home. The halacha is you have to daven in a holy place. If you daven at home, it's not a place to daven. It does not have the kedusha of a Beis HaKnesses. A Beis HaKnesses is a place for davening. Your bedroom is not a place for davening. Your dining room is not a place for davening. It's not proper to daven. It's not proper to make minyanim. People make minyanim Friday night. They make minyanim on Yom Tov night. This is Shalika Halacha. You're supposed to daven in a makom miyuchud for davening. To daven in someone's dining room, this is not a makom miyuchud for davening. At a Beis Ovel, you have no choice. Person is sick, they have no choice. If there's a special circumstance, you have no choice. But in general, when people are Baruch Hashem, they're healthy, they're gesund, and they just don't want to wait another 10 minutes because the shul, there's going to be a drasha on. They don't want to torture to sit there for 10 minutes to listen to someone give a drasha for 10 minutes and to daven in the shul. So you go into someone's house. This is a chil Hashem. This is mamish. This is not the Jewish way. You're supposed to daven in a makom miyuchad litzfilah, not in a private home. And the only time is when the exceptional circumstances. There are people who unfortunately have no choice. They must daven b'yichidus every single day. The nature of their work demands of them that they cannot daven the minyan. So the ideal thing for them to do is to designate a room or a corner in their home to be their shul. I once went to someone's house, he showed me that this is his shul. He showed me a little room. It was like a little teeny room. And he even had like a paroiches. He made it mamash. This is his shul. He cannot go to minyan every day for various reasons. He davens b'yichidus. So when he davens, he goes into this room. This is the makom miyuchad lit tefila. And that's correct. That's the way it's supposed to be. Not just to sit around and daven. I think he actually did. He actually did have the pushka there. Okay. A lot of people have pushkas. They have pushkas, you know, for before you get light candles. There's a general rule that before you do a mitzvah, okay, before you do a mitzvah, there is a minhag by many people. You give tzedakah. Any mitzvah you do, before you light candles, you give tzedakah. Before you light ner Chanukah, you give tzedakah. Before you do any mitzvah, before you do a mitzvah in your home, you give tzedakah. There is such a custom, so you need a pushka. You don't have to give a lot. You give it even a dime.
Remember hearing wherever your bride's mitzvah, every shul they collect all the chazaras and shots. That makes no sense. You're supposed to collect it.
That's right.
That's the most convenient time to collect it.
That's right. It's not the right thing. It's not the right time to collect during chazaras and shots, but it's not proper to read what it says on the table, to read the parsheets. A lot of things that are absolutely incorrect. There are worse things that are done in this world. So don't lose your job, your day job, over fighting over these things.
String across, I didn't see what was happening, and they pulled out a long parochas. It's a regular parochas.
In the store. Wow.
And I asked them where the parochas came from. They brought it over from Iran.
Wow.
And they took it and
they made it into a shul.
They pulled the parochas. And they sat out in the front and they set up cake and schnapps every day at 2 o'clock. And they made you make a bracha as you walked out. Make a bracha in the zonos and a bracha up front.
Okay, it's a very nice thing.
We will collect this tzedakah. After the second Ashi Yeshua potato, the Chomzen, we will see you.
Can I say it again?
collecting tzedakah.
Yes.
In one session, after second time, Hashem Yoshev Potei Derecham Hashem Alechol Hayerason. After that,
during,
they collected tzedakah.
During Pesukei Zimra.
Yeah. No, no.
The second, Asher Volatzion. All right. There are different minhagim. Chazaras Hashatz is the worst time to collect tzedakah.
Yeah,
okay, that's the worst time. Chazaras Hashatz. It's the middle of Amid. It's even probably worse in the middle of Kriya Shema. Okay, everyone complains that in the middle of Kriya Shema, Shema Yisrael. You go like this, and they open up your hands, and there's a guy. After you open up your eyes, someone is collecting. Right, they get very upset.
99% of the shuls collect tzedakah during
Chazaras Hashatz. All right, it's obviously
there
not.
There must be a reason.
Could be, I don't know. Could be. It's not. It says in Shulchan Aruch one thing only. It says in Shulchan Aruch one thing only. Chazar Sashatz, you sit and do nothing. You just sit and listen to the Chazar Sashatz. Time to reflect on life. I tell you that I used to go to certain shir years ago. Yeshiva, I had no choice. I didn't understand a word in the shir. Not a word. Not one word. I had no choice. I have to go. I have to go to the shir. I found, and then I was so happy. I don't have to go anymore to that shir. So I found that life was better when I went to that shir for one simple reason. I had 45 minutes every day to think about life. It's really true. It's like I'm sitting there and I'm not listening because I don't understand a word it says. But like you think about, what am I doing here? What are my plans? What's this all about? And it really, you think about it, when during the day do you ever sit down to reflect upon your life and your plans? What?
You can get into trouble doing that.
You can get very depressed. You get very depressed and you can make decisions that are very, very harmful for the rest of your life. But Rabbi Yisrael, Chazor Sashatz, maybe Chazal knew something we don't know. Chazor Sashatz can be for most people very boring, extremely boring. They don't connect to the Baal Tfila. The Baal Tfila himself is something very often just, you know, mumbles of the words. So what do? You know, smartphone provides a very good solution. Or you go, you read something on the table, you look around. Just think. Think about life. It takes like 4 or 5 minutes. You think about life. It's scary. It's scary what those few moments a day just thinking about life can do for you. It can really change your whole day, your whole attitude. Chazal, they knew something we don't know. They forced upon us a moment of silence during the day to think about something.
See, some people have tefillot in the cell phone. They can't open it, and it is for public.
It depends. Where and what? Listen, I would love to use my smartphone for shachris and mincha and ma'ariv. I really would. I really like it. How, you know, the davening, it's all there. There are no distractions. It just, you know, and it has the whole thing there for you. You have to turn any pages. And we say the same Talmud Levracha, it says, when it says do this, everything is there for you. Smartphone. But in society today, this is not accepted. It's not a marisayin, right. It's just not the place where I dive in. The rabbis who are there would get very, very upset. So I don't dare do it. But now, one thing I got to tell you, when I go to a wedding, not so often, It's a game changer. Because when I used to go to weddings and daven ma'ariv, I didn't really daven ma'ariv. Just mumble, make up some words. You think you know by heart. You know nothing by heart. You just mumble some words. They have a sitter. They don't have a sitter. It was a joke. Mom, it's a joke. Now I find that I'm really able to daven ma'ariv. For real. Every single word. They have a mincha ma'ariv. I go into my stuff. I press a button. I have my smart sitter. Every single word is right there, clear, it's clearer than the sitter. And so by a simcha, it's a real game changer. I have a friend who's a Rosh Shiva. He said, nice, so he said to me, we'll by a wedding, and he said to me, you have a sitter? So I said, no, he's my age, and so he has a smartphone, he has everything that I have. So I said to him, use your smartphone. You know, he's not from, you know, the heavy duty, you know, Rosh Hashivas. So he says, I would like to. You're right, I would like to. But, you know, my Talmidim, it says, my Talmidim are all here. And I tell them in Yeshiva, you can't use the smartphone during the Shachris and Mincha in Yeshiva. So I don't want to, you know, I don't want to go, oh, you see the Rebbe, he tells not to use your smartphone during davening. He's using that, even though now it's a wedding and it's a whole different setting.
But I thought it's better to read the davening than to actually say it.
What? Well, usually, yes.
When you're reading it.
There's really no rule. The rule is whatever, wherever you have more kavana. Wherever you have more kavana. If you're at a wedding or a simcha where it's a balagan, and there's noise, everyone's running here and there, it's extremely, extremely difficult. Who are you fooling to close your eyes and to say the Shemona Esrei, to say the Birchas Kriya Shema? It's very hard. Everyone, I prefer to say Shemona Esrei by heart. But when I go to a wedding, something like this, I don't got a chance. I need a sitter. I really need a sitter to just to stay focused. And it provides me an incredible thing that I never had before. And I see a lot of people, but we're still living in a stage where it's not yet acceptable. It's going to for sure come a time very soon when it's going to be a whole new world. These devices are going to change. They'll kasher them. I don't know what they're going to do, but they're somehow going to come up with a way where the problems that we're suffering from today. Using these devices, they'll find the solution for it. It has to be at some point in time. And then it's going to be a major game changer in everything, in the way we learn, the way we daven, do mitzvahs, because it provides for us an incredible, incredible asset, incredible tools that were never available until today. It's a problem. So it's right. That's going to be a very big problem. Shabbos, that's the big question. What's going to be Shabbos? What's going to be like the Goyim today, the new generation? They'll never have a book. People who are born today, they'll never touch a book anymore. They'll never touch a book. What? Why is it terrible?
Well, I was in the class to me in the Bronx. You know, we're all Goyim. No more books. I think everything is visual. Everything is visual. I think that's much less learning that way.
I see that on my iPad.
It could be.
I see it on the library books. E-book. You don't see it? Book.
It's a new world. Our generation. I'm sorry to tell you, Rabbi Sai, we're too late. We'll always prefer books. We'll always want the paper because that's what we were brought up with, and you can't take that away from us. Impossible. But people who are born today, anyone who's born today, go to the hospital. They'll never touch a book. They'll never learn how to drive. They already say the people who are born today. Will they ever go to learn how to drive an automobile? Go for a license? Not likely. By the time these kids are 18 years old, everything will be driverless cars.
They can't read their clock.
I don't know they can't read the clock. That's not necessarily true. I don't think it's true.
I worked for the youth court.
What?
Yeah. I worked for the youth court. We were processing thousands of kids. Many kids cannot sign their name. They cannot sign their name. You're talking about intelligent kids. They cannot.
From kids?
What?
From kids?
Some of them from, yes. They know how to print. They don't know how to sign.
Oh, they don't know how to sign?
Yes.
It's frightening. It's going to have to come back. It has to be.
They're not writing, they're typing now. They're on a keyboard.
That's right.
Yeah, but even so, Avi, it's because they're not getting good education. They're not being taken care of. The parents of these children, they're not.
Parents, schools.
Then they're in the wrong schools. They're in the wrong schools. These are the average. There are a lot of good schools today that they will never tolerate something like this. Maybe, unfortunately, they're in the wrong schools. I think that's why this whole thing is very controversial. This whole thing about the government now coming down on the yeshivas. I think it's just. I don't know all the details, but I understand where they're coming from. When you have a youth corps and they come there and they see people, they don't know how to sign their names. We're giving you millions of dollars for education. Where is the money going?
Where is the money going?
The yeshiva kids
Who's stealing
are
the money?
10 times better than the public school kids.
They are?
Oh, sure.
All right, I don't know. I don't know that.
I found myself. When you need the problem, because all the research the engine, it gives you right away the answer. You solve that, what you have. But when you were doing it to a manual or a book, you went to 100 pages.
Not by me, I gave up.
But you were reading. I was reading something.
I don't know.
I gave up. Something which is most, this is not pretending to my problem, but you read it. This is not. Next time, you already had a background of much more.
Yes and no. Look, I find today, even on foolish things, why shoelaces? Okay, I tell you just a mushroom. Shoelaces. My whole life, I buy shoelaces. I go into the local 99 cents, so the closest place I can find. Shoelaces is good. Yeah, what's it cost? $1. I buy the shoelaces. I'm done. Right, I'm done. Now I've entered into a state where I don't walk into a store. Kamat, I buy everything online. Oh, I need shoelaces. Oh, so let me buy shoelaces online. I go online. There are about 1,000 choices. Why so many choices? And I start reading and reading and reading, doing research, and I'm fascinated. Now, I'll prove it to you. I have now shoelaces. I don't have to tie. My shoelaces, they look like shoelaces. They're silicone. I don't have to tie them. They're permanent. Why? Because I wasted literally over 2 hours researching shoelaces. Years ago, I wouldn't even think. It's not even something that would cross my mind. But here, I read articles, an analysis.
But you don't just know there are two choices, two or three.
There are no choices. It's communist Russia. This is what they give you. That's the end.
That's the title.
And you read the reviews, and one review mentions a concept. Oh, very good. Let me read about that. And you go, you type it on Google, have a whole article explaining this principle. And before you turn around, you get swept away. It wasn't available years ago.
When I was doing tests, other mathematicians here too, I closed my eyes and I remember on which page of each side was the formula. Because many times I was looking for something and my eyes spent on that one. I didn't need it now, but this is a reference to that. This is a reference to that. When the test came, the whole book was in there. If I didn't have it only Google, where I found? I typed it.
My neighbor.
So the nature, by you looking it many times, even if you're looking at Gemara for a question, you're reading 10 pages.
It reinforces the information.
My neighbor is a professor in Brooklyn College, and he says there's a difference between knowledge and information. Mm-hmm. Knowledge is your common, what you know. The kids don't have a lot of knowledge.
Interesting.
Everything is Googleable and information, anything. Now, when we went to school, remember a math person, Sokotoa. We all learned trigonometry the way that we were sine, cosine, and tangent. Kids don't need it. They're given it with, they just press a button and they give. They don't have to remember anything.
It's spoon fed.
I hear it's all right. Let's learn. Let's learn. Let's not get sidetracked. Let's learn. Let's learn. Let's learn next. On page Lamed Gimel, middle of the paragraph. But between, you can do whatever you want. Now, here's a very important principle. After you finish the Shemoneh Esrei, after you say Yehiyu L'Ratzon, you can say whatever you want. Even the Vidui of Yom Kippurim, there's no limit to what you're allowed to add to your Shemoneh Esrei before you take your 3 steps back. You can say every single if you want the Vidui of Yom Kippurim. Now, here's this is something a little more complex. If you want to be Moisif on I'll call bracha ubracha min ho emtso iois main bracha moisif. If you want to add to the brachas in the middle of the bracha, in relation to the theme of that bracha, it is permitted. For example, im hayachola oitzach leparnasa moisif kifit sachus leshaynai. And he writes over something that he takes an incredible liberty to say something which today we generally do not do. You can just speak to Hashem like you speak to your friend.
In Shema Kuleinu,
there's a whole Shulchan Aruch on this. I can't get into now, but let's just talk about, let's say Rifo'enu. If a person has someone he knows who is not well, so you want to mention him by name. So when you get to the end of Rifo'enu, so what do we do? We say there's a Yehi Ratzon that's presented for us in the art school siddur, many siddurim. And you add. Well, let me just turn to the page. Okay, we have over here a few types of. Okay, so let's go to Rifo'enu. Okay, Rifo'enu. Before you wind down, Kikel Melech Reifei Neman V'Rachamonata, in the art scroll Siddur, it says, this is the Yihirotzen on the bottom. Kan Efshel, here we have instructions, Lohesef Tefila Al Choy Le. Yihirotzen Milfonech Hashem Elokai, Vilkei Avosai, She Tishlach Mehera Refua Shlem in Hashemayim, Refua Sanem Shuas Aguf, La Choy Le so and so, Besor Shorchol Yishol, and then you go back, Kikel Melech Reifei Neman V'Rachamonata. Let's say, Rabbi Sai, you're not satisfied with this Yihirotzen. You want to say, Rebbe Shalom, you want to say, Rebbe Shalom, I have a friend, he's in the hospital, he's in this hospital, he's on the third floor, in room 304, Rebbe Shalom, and he has this particular disease, and the doctor said that he only has 3 weeks to live, and we don't know what to do, and we're asking you, Hashem, please put a solution. Are you allowed to go and have a whole conversation with the Kodesh Baruch Hu as if you're talking to your friend? Are you allowed to do that today? So the answer is, he says, yes. The Sefer Chassidim says, you say Yishmona Esrei, and you say Ulchol Machoy Veinu, Ulchol Machoy Seinu, this is Svart, and now, just start talking.
It's
good therapy, that's right. Talk to the in English, in your whatever language, and go into a whole conversation, go through all the details, and by going to the details, you'll be able to pour out your heart to Hashem and cry, and ask Hashem, I'm really desperate. Now, technically speaking, can you do this? Yes. That's what it says in the Gemara, and that's what he says over here, Beferish, it says over here, Im hoyecholot choytzorech leparnasa, moisif kifit sachus lishoynoi. That means the flow of your speech. Okay, you can say whatever you want. There is no book, this I'll give you an example, there is no safer today in print that will tell you that you can do this. Can you do it? Yes. I found this, I realized this very recently. There are a lot of halachos that are mutter. A lot of things that are really way out. And if you ask a really good rav, a rav that really knows the halacha, and a rav that has experience, he'll tell you to do things that you never heard of. And it's mamish 100% mutter. However, you will never find these heterim in any published sefer. Okay, you're not going to find it. You're not going to find it in the art scroll series on halacha. You're not going to find it in the Feldheim series on halacha. You're not going to find it in all the Hebrew privately published svarim. The private svarim that they sell in the Judaica stores only have chumras. It's an amazing concept.
If you put it in print, then the Flappish Jewish Journal have newsletters.
You're banned. Whenever they write in an art school book, when they write in any of these English books, speak to your local Orthodox rabbi. You know what that really means? It means it's mutter. That's really what it means. It's mutter, but we can't write this in the book. Because if we write this in the book, then it sets the wrong, the people who are very naive and innocent, and looking to know not to do the wrong thing, not really care, they'll take this as a green light to not just do this, to do whatever they want. And if you're a respectable publishing company, which they're the only ones that really are able to market to the public and put their books in the catalog and want their books to be around for a very long time, they will not accept it. They will not do it. This does not exist. Today, when you buy an art school book, not 100%, if you have a leniency that's really legit and really is sourced very, very well, they'll print it. They're not afraid to print it. Simcha Bunim Kohen has tons of incredible kulos. Don't get me wrong. But there are certain kulos in halacha you're not going to ever find in a book. It's really amazing. The real kulos are just by word of mouth. Word of mouth, things that are mut. I'll give you an example. Gelatin capsule. You want to take medicine. Okay, there are a lot of vitamins. There are vitamins. And there are medicines, and they only come in gel caps. And they're different today. It's very, very, very complicated, the gel caps. Some of them, even if it says gelatin, it's kosher. And some of them, when it says that it's made from gelatin, it's mamash chazer, it's not kosher. Are you allowed to take those gelatins, those pills? So if you read all the books, they'll tell you something like, well, you know, you can go to the supermarket today, there's a whole kosher industry where you can get the same exact thing with a kosher with a veg cap or with another type of cap. It's true, but you know, sometimes the quality, you suspect the quality is not as good. Or the price is not good exactly, 100% the price is not good, 100% the quality is not good. You go on Amazon and the Goyisha brand that has a gel cap has 5,000 reviews and everyone is singing its praises, and the kosher brand has 2 reviews, one is 3 stars and one is 2 stars. So tell me, it's the same vitamin. It's the same vitamin, right? The same active ingredient, it's the same this. So what are you going to, you're Jewish, you have an obligation to be Mekayim the Torah, and therefore you have no choice, you have to give up on life and you have to go buy the brand that only 2 reviews and 4 stars and 3 stars, or maybe 4 stars and 1 star. Is that really what the Torah wants of you? The answer is no. The answer in most cases is, if you really need it, go buy the non-kosher brand. Oh, but it's gelatin. And you're not going to find, I'm telling you, Rabbi Yisrael, you're not going to find anywhere in any Orthodox publication that you're permitted to eat, take a medicine that's a gel cap, that has real gelatin, unless it's bikuach nefesh. But if you ask your local Orthodox rabbi, they'll tell you if you really need, then you should know there are many heterim why it's mutter. It's already been decomposed into powder, into nothing. It's been reconstituted. That itself is a heter. So it's not really, it's nishtana, the whole thing has been completely transformed, and it's not achila. You swallow it, you're swallowing it. They'll tell you 5 reasons why, if you really need it, go for it. It's mutter. Will you ever find in any publication of any major Orthodox publication today? No way. You'll never find this. It's fascinating. The hakulas, which are really mutter to do, are not found in Sfar.
Rabbis, they don't spread the word, or
maybe he will, maybe he won't. I don't know. But his responsibility is if you really need it, if you're coming to ask the question, that already shows that you need it. But I remember once someone, they called up the doctor on Shabbos. So a Goyisha doctor, and the Goyisha doctor says, should we go into the hospital? Should we do this? Should we do that? So the doctor says, if you're calling me on Shabbos, it must really be serious. Go. If you would have called me during the weekday, I would just say, let's see, give the kid an aspirin, call me back in 6 hours, let's see where we're holding. If you're so scared, you're calling, the guy is a guy, you're calling me on Shabbos, obviously you see something that I don't see, and it's not just a textbook case over here, go to the emergency room right away. Okay, so if you're calling the rabbi, because, you know, I went on Amazon and there are 5,000 reviews for the vitamin that is a gelatin cap, and there's only 3 reviews for the kosher brand. Obviously, it bothers you. You really need it, and you need a quality product. And you're a religious Jew. You're not a pig, but you realize there's something bothering you. So you know something? It's really mutter. Because there are many heterim why a gelatin cap is permitted. If you can be machmir kol hakavod halavai, don't advantage of all the leniencies in consuming gelatin caps. Don't take advantage. So here is another example. So here the Sefer Chassid did not have to worry about the media. I heard a great line yesterday. It's your cousin, right? Of Kahana, how could I forget the Rav? He was he was murdered, assassinated. What was the name of? Meir Kahana. Rav Meir Kahana. I was listening in the car to a tape. A sheer honor of Meir Kahana. Okay, Rabbi Stephen Przanski. His stuff is the best. He goes through a series of all the famous Rabbanim. So he has a whole series on Meir Kahana. So he says that, you know, he loved to be arrested. There was no rabbi that was arrested more than him. He demonstrated, he protested. I was more than him? Could be. I don't think so. Meir Kahana was arrested every day. He was arrested only maybe 5, 6 times.
A very fair story. I know I interrupted you. Avi Weiss would always chain himself to the Russian consulate and everything like that. He was working in the camp as an educational director. So he had to chain himself. So he chained himself to the court in Monticello. So the people there said, he's not going to get away with this. He's not going to cut the chain. He'll just leave him. He'll learn a lesson. By the way, I wanted to bring up, there's a publication, Halachically Speaking.
Yes, David Leibowitz. My friend. I know from David Das.
Which is, I find, extremely annoying. It uses the term, let's say, they're talking about saying or later. I'd say some poskim and many poskim. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean that it opens a door for me to rely on some?
So whatever you were doing yesterday, continue doing today.
No, but I thought, you know, some and many.
So some means some, and many means many. Whatever. I don't know. I know. I heard this about the law there. Whatever.
Getting back to
America. Yeah, so he's a very, very long. So he was arrested in America many, many times, and then he moved to Eretz Yisrael, and he was arrested there also. So when he was arrested there in Eretz Yisrael, so they manhandled him very, very to the extreme. They beat him up. They really treated him very, very bad. So he said to the Israelis, even in America, when they arrested me, they didn't treat me like this. They didn't go manhandle me like the way you treat me, beat me up. They were gentle in America. So the Israeli said to him, here we don't have to worry about the Jewish vote. All right, going back. Point over here is, he says over here something that you're not going to find anywhere else. And he says over there, you can mamish speak to Hashem. You come to Rifo'enu, you don't have to follow the script of art scroll. You can get into a conversation with Ribbono Shel Olam in Rifo'enu. Now, even though he says this, even though I'm telling you that it's technically mutter, no, you're supposed to say you're lechatchila when you mavakish for a choyle. Yes, a very good point. Lechatchila, you're supposed to say their name and their mother's name. Now, I tell you, Ashkenaz. There's a difference between Ashkenaz and Svardim. Ashkenaz, they focus on the mother's name. By Svardim, mother also by Svardim?
Yeah.
Okay, not everyone. Some people, even by Choylim, they focus on the father's name. It's different from Hagen. Generally, I know, that's Ashkenazic minhag. I'm surprised I can tell you because some by Svardim, whatever it is, but by Ashkenazim, it's very common, the mother's name. That, now, when you're davening in the presence of the Choyl, let's say a person goes to a hospital room, and the Choyl is present, and you're davening mincha, and you want to say a Rifa'ina, you want to say Mishaberach, you don't have to say their name. Just think about that. In the presence of the Choyl, there is no need to say the name of the Choyl. You only need to say their name when you're not in their presence.
Right.
Now, let's say you do not know their name, so Hashem listens to your tefillah, so it doesn't make a difference. Should you say their English last name? Some say yes. Some say, I want to be mispal for Jack Smith. Okay, whatever. You can say, you don't know their name, so you say to Jack Smith. You can say their English name as well if you do not know their mother's name. If you don't know that, you can say their father's name. You know their name is Jack Ben Avram, so that's also valid. Hashem knows your tefillahs. To go start nitty gritty, oh, I don't know the name, so Hashem, and he's, it's not going to work. If you think like that, it's not going to work, then you don't even know what davening is all about. Hashem knows everything. You do the best you can. There are certain rules and conventions to say the name, not in their presence. When they're in the presence, you don't say their name. Okay, again, you have to follow the script. So we have a script what to follow. So it's very, very good. Can you, if you want, say whatever you want to say? So here's what I'm trying to get the point I'm trying to tell you is, technically the answer is yes. However, it is not advised. It is not advised. Unless you really know what you're doing, because people have a tendency to, we already have a hard time saying Shemona Esrei and sticking to the script. Once a person is given the green light to start saying whatever he wants and to say Hashem, you have a conversation with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, unless you're very confident, that you're not going to get distracted and go off script, the poskim, that is why you're not going to see what the Sefer Hasidim says anywhere. You're not going to see this anywhere. If you'll ask a rabbi, he'll tell you if you want to do it and you really know what you're doing, you're really on target, you're on script, do it. But you're not going to see this in print anywhere, and maybe the rabbis will tell you even not to do it, because unfortunately we have a tendency to get totally lost and go off script. So therefore, they've done for us a very great favor, and they've put over here the Yehiratzai, and they've given us a nusach, a very precise nusach from a very holy person, whoever wrote this, to keep it short and simple and sweet. In this siddur, they also have for Parnasa. Yeah. Okay, they have a special tzviwa for parnasa, and they have also now. It's interesting. Over here, what they don't have there. You can go into the stores and you can buy certain svarim which have tzvilas for all different types of needs. Now, should you put them? And what about in Shema Koleinu? See, in art, this is a very complicated thing. Over here in the art scroll sitter, they put in Shema Koleinu a tefillah for parnasa and a tefillah for kapara. A person with very, very bad avera, terrible avera, and it really bothers him. And he has the need, he feels the need to confess an extra degree of confession within the Shemoneh Esrei itself. So this is a very complicated sugya. I remember of Zev Smith, he once gave a really good shiur going through the rules and explaining the lumness behind how all of these things work. I don't remember anything. But all I remember I took out of the shiur is that it's something we have to study and understand. In art school, look what they did. If someone needs parnasa, everyone needs parnasa, and you're really desperate, and you want to embellish your Shemoneh Esrei, where would you expect to put the prayer for a success in parnasa?
Baruch Aleinu.
Yet in this article, Sira Nusach Svart, I don't know why, they put in Shema Koleinu. If you're really desperate because you did a terrible Avera, where would you expect the Avera to be put? In Slach Lanu Avinu Ki Chatanu. Yet, in the art scroll sitter, it does not do that. In the art scroll, when it comes to refuah, they put it in the bracha of refuenu. When it comes to parnasa and mechilas avoinois, they put it in shema koleinu, the general catch-all tefillah. Why do they do that? There's a reason. I don't remember the reason exactly right now. But there's a reason, there's a rhyme and reason to all of these things, and you have to really know the halachas of where is the ideal. If you want to embellish, that's fine. What should you say to embellish? Should you use your own language and English and your own expression? It's permitted, but you have to be very careful. And where should you insert your bakasha? I don't know the rules. It seems to be very complicated. Why some things you only put in Shema Koleinu, why other things it could be that Shema Koleinu is more of a private prayer. The other tefillahs are more public. You see, when you're davening for Rifo'enu, let me explain to you, davening for a chayla, who are you davening for? Are you davening for yourself or are you davening for someone else? When you say Rifo'enu, and now I have a neighbor, or whatever, you have someone you know, he needs a refuah. So where do you put him? You put him in Rifo'enu because all of the brachas of the Shemoneh Esrei are not about you. It's about the Klal Yisrael. So it's not about me. I'm not asking for refuah for myself. I'm asking for Klal Yisrael. So you take the individual and you put him in the bracha of refuah. If you were being mispalel for someone else's parnasa, Ribbono Shel Olam, my best friend lost his job. He has 12 children to support. He desperately needs a job. Please, Hashem, help my friend get a job. Where would you daven for your friend? In Baruch Aleinu. If your friend did a terrible avera, and you want Hashem to forgive him, where would you daven for your friend? In Slach Lanu Avinu. Why is it that in the article Siddur we have over here the bracha of Parnasa and Mechilas Avonos for Shema Koleinu? Because unfortunately, people don't often daven for their friend's Parnasa. They daven for their own Parnasa. They daven for their own refuah. Oh, it's a selfish prayer. It's a selfish prayer. You cannot add a selfish prayer into the brachos of Shemoneh Esrei. That's not proper. Selfish prayers go in Shema Koleinu. In Shema Koleinu, no matter what the topic is. Prayers, selfless prayers, go in those 12 brachos. That's the rule of thumb. So, unfortunately, it's a very sad sign of the times, this article sitter. Can you imagine if the Gedolei Yisrael, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, they would come, they would show them an article sitter, they would faint. They would say, what kind of generation are we living in where, when it comes to refuah, that we fargin. We fargin that someone else should have a refuah shalema. But when it comes to parnasa, hakesef yanes akol, Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov have a tviya, complaint against our generation. Why in the art scroll sitter is there no insert for, in Baruch Aleinu, for this fellow's parnasa? Why in the Art Scroll Siddur is there no insert in Slach Lanu Avinu? Because my friend has a child who went off the derech. How come the only place in the Art Scroll Siddur does it have
it?
B'soch Shor Chol Yisrael. Public. What's the Rifa'enu? Is this for yourself? The Rifa'enu is not for yourself. If the Rifa'enu was for yourself, he doesn't even go here. You know where it goes? It goes to Shema Kaleinu. So look at the article sitter. It's a very sad reflection of our generation. Is that when it comes to Parnasa, it's in Shema Kaleinu. When it comes to Kapar Savan, it's because the Hamtse Li, provide for me, Ulchol B'nei Vesi. Me, my family, Mizoynes and Parnasa. And that's why, because it's a selfish prayer, Shema Koleinu. You can't go put a selfish prayer in Borei Choleinu, because Borei Choleinu is not about you, it's about the klal. You have a specific person who's part of the klal that needs Parnasa, put it there. So how come it's not in the, they didn't put it? It's because no one's interested. Satisfy the customers. There's no demand. There's no demand in Flatbush that we should have an insert in the Art Scroll Siddur to pray for someone else's Parnasa, because who cares? Refuah, we're already good. Refuah, we're ready, we've reached the Madrega. I forgin so much on Refuah Shalema. But Parnasa? I couldn't care less about Parnasa. His child went off the derech. I killed his child. I couldn't care less. I care about my own children. I care about my own Parnasa. Oh, you care? That's what the customer wants? We're going to put it in Shema Koleinu, because the selfish prayers only go in Shema Koleinu. So it's a chaval. It's a chaval. This siddur will one day be the Mechilas Kvoid article. Shani Piyam Anu Chayim. I told you, I always tell you, you can put on me a logo. You can attach a logo to my body. I'm an Art Scroll product. I have no complaints against Art Scroll. It's just a reflection of the Dar. It's a very pathetic reflection of the Dar. When Mashiach comes, they're going to put this in Geniza. They're going to be embarrassed of the sitter. I'm telling you.
Well, was there a time where those things were in fact inserted in the sitter?
Well, the earlier Sidurim had nothing. They had nothing.
You know how difficult it is for innovations to enter in things like this.
You never saw them in a
Certainly, in the old Sidurim, they had nothing. We became very pious. Ooh, we're going to add into the Siddur. Yotso sechoroi behefseidoi.
Isn't it better to put everything in the very end that you want to say? Then you can say whatever you want.
It's more potent. You're saying very good.
Yeah, I think that's the best thing. Then you say for yourself, yeah, this one for that one.
After we learned, because after you get to the very end.
Because you're afraid to change around the bracha. You're playing around the middle of a bracha.
That's the halacha.
I know, you are allowed.
This is the halacha.
But very possible that person can say something inappropriate, no. Wrong, or whatever it is.
That's why you said
at the end. At the end, right before you leave, then you say whatever you want.
This is what it says in Sefer HaChassidim. However, the potency. Let me ask you a simple question. Where do you get more bang for your buck? Davening in the Yom Gizel of Midwood or going to the Kusel Hamaravi? Getting on a plane and going and traveling 6,000 miles to daven Shacharis at the Kusel Hamaravi when it's quiet, no troublemakers. Okay, quiet, peaceful, with a Kosh of a minion, or davening over here in the Yom Gizel of Midwood. What's the answer? The Kaisel HaMaravi.
Yeah.
What's the difference? Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. Hashem hears your tefillos here in Flatbush, even in the subway, underneath the city, in the belly of the beast. He's surrounded by a Mexican and a Schwarzer and a Portuguese. Everyone and a woman. And women who are not dressed nicely in front of you. Hashem listens to your tefillos there as well. So what's the difference? Melamed Shahamokim Gorim. There's an intensity. There is an intensity of Kiddusha by the Kaisel HaMaravi. Likewise, adding your request in the middle of Borei Choleinu, in the middle of Refoeinu, there's a potency. There is an intensity that you do not achieve when you add it, after you say Yehiyu L'Rotz and Imrei Fi. If a person is really desperate, you know where it goes? It goes in the Bracha itself. Second level, Shema Koleinu. It's a catch-all. Third level, after the Shemoneh Esrei. But even when you want to put in the bracha itself, there are rules and regulations. If you're selfish, you can't put it there. Because that's not what the bracha suffer. The bracha suffer the klal. Borech oleinu. Every bracha, parnasa, and refoenu, borech oleinu. Shema koleinu is a catch-all. It's beloshen rabin. But the catch-all allows itself, it allows a person to add a private bakasha for himself. And therefore, the article had no choice but to follow the halacha. What do people want? You always feel being mistal for their own parnasa, for their own things. So that's where it has to be put. There's no demand. You don't have people so desperate to be mistal for their friend's parnasa to demand they should say it in the middle of Shimon Esrei itself. For refu, we do. Refu, there is Baruch Hashem. There's a demand. There's a demand. So they put it where it's supposed to be put. It's a reflection of the times. Maybe it would have been better not to put anything because it's a shtick of embarrassment. I don't think they realize how embarrassing it is. It's selfishness. It's really what it really comes down to. We don't even think about it. So we're so brainwashed in the way we live, we don't realize what we're doing sometimes, and we make embellishments. It's really yotza sechoroi behef seder. Okay, let's stop here. We have to do some more. We have to do something else. Take a short break.